Welcome to the Men of Eight Gang podcast for Saturday, January 17th, 2009. This is Steve Borsch, and we have a special guest today, Paul DeBettings. How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
Just great. And then we have our cohorts, my cohorts in crime on, Phil Wilson.
Hello.
Tim Elliott.
Good morning.
And Graham Thickens.
Greetings from toasty, warm Bloomington.
Yeah. It is. Well, I took the dog out this morning. It's 42 degrees difference than it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, my Woo-hoo! Gosh. Yeah, I know.
Graham was walking around his house in his Speedo.
No, I don't want that visual.
Luckily, I live in the woods.
And have curtains.
I'm not feeling so good.
Yeah.
All right. I know. Sorry to load you up with that image first thing on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well,
think of a brilliant white light.
God, oh, this is going to go downhill fast. I can tell. So, you know, speaking of 2009, as if we're in kind of an interesting time. And you know what, Paul, you're kind of at the epicenter of this, aren't you?
Yes. you know, I've been doing a lot of statistical reading for the last few years, and you could see November of last year that there was the beginning of a trend. And I would suggest to folks that if the recession started, or if the economy started to go down last November, and if this is going to be a longer than average recession, so let's call it 2 years, we should be, could be, might be near the bottom of it, or near the worst of it. I don't know how accurate that reflection will be, but we'll find out in about 9 months.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you and I talked briefly yesterday, you had talked about leading and trailing indicators for recruiting, and I know that my brother-in-law does executive level recruiting as a retained recruiter, and he always talks about how, because he's putting in strategists, that he's usually an indicator of real early on recovery. And in terms of what space you're in, especially with Nerd Search that you do, Nerd Search LLC, where do you think you fit in terms of your sweet spot, and what are you seeing?
Well, there are a couple of things to run by real quick. One is last spring, early summer on the coast, we were beginning to see recruiter and HR professionals being let go. It was the very beginning of it. And my experience here in Minneapolis has been in most things, whether it's jobs or culture or music or whatever. You know, it starts there. It comes to the center of the country. It's a matter of how big and how fast it happens. And we actually did not start seeing recruiter HR folk being let go from companies until about, it was after the credit crunch, really. It was about the end of September, the beginning of October. And now the last 6 weeks, it has hit really hard. Part of that, of course, you know, it's the end of the year, it's the beginning of the new year. A lot of folks are just doing announcements now because everyone else is, so you can kind of get it buried in there somewhere.
Yeah.
I did a survey back in October, and another leading indicator for, particularly for IT folks, will be, you know, I watch how the employment status of project managers and business analysts happen. And we definitely saw in that survey that it was like 80% of the consulting firms in town were not seeing calls for project managers and business analysts, which, you know, I would suggest means that projects aren't going to happen, so everything's going to start to slow down a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So I think that the local IT market specifically, it's not like it was in 2001. It isn't that bad. Another thing is that, you know, even with the announcement of Best Buy and their buyouts, and with other companies announcing layoffs, those companies actually still are hiring in different key spots. So to just say Best Buy now is not hiring and won't be for the next 6 months just isn't an accurate statement. So
you're right.
Employment is always a bit of a funky thing.
So Paul, since you're a master of social media in your space, how do you see candidates using Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn to try to help their job search?
Well, I would separate out use of Twitter and a blog and Facebook from the use of LinkedIn. I'll count the first three social network sites. I count LinkedIn a little bit different, because when you're on LinkedIn, yeah, it's a social thing, but there's a specific purpose, which is networking of some sort. So it might be networking to find a job, a new client, new partnerships, new sales opportunities. So to separate them out for a minute, I think the candidates are still a little bit slow on the social media side of things. In our community here, the social media folks, us, the folks that attend Rick Mon's social media breakfast, of course we're doing it, but it seems to be a core group of folks. I'd say it's even less than a few hundred at most. And so folks are still kind of slow to it. You get on Facebook and people forget that when they're reconnecting with their high school or their college friends, that if they're looking for a job, they should mention it. Whether they're unemployed or not. A lot of folks now are starting to get the idea that I should start being proactive in my job searches versus reactive, because a lot of folks are nervous now. LinkedIn being a different animal, everyone's there for a reason. It's not a guess. So if I go to Facebook and I'm trying to recruit someone, that's always a bit odd for a person to receive such a message from a recruiter, but on LinkedIn it's expected. So LinkedIn has actually seen huge, as you might expect, has seen huge, huge growth in the last 120 days or so.
Yeah.
And clearly that's going to continue.
Do you see that candidates that do add social media to their search, do they stand out, or is it still too leading edge?
When I did a survey, it's by hand, the Minnesota Recruiters Group back in May, I asked how many of us, there was 240 folks at the theater in Best Buy, how many of us are using Twitter? Seven of us raised our hands, and I already knew who all seven were. When I asked the same question at our November event, there were more than 25 or 30 hands that were raised. And I was shocked, because that was pretty quick adoption for us. So the thing is, the recruiter folk are still a little bit, somewhere I would say, slow, apprehensive, trying to figure out how they can use it as a tool. And of course, the search firm, consulting firm folks are always a little bit quicker to adopt to things than the corporate recruiters are. Part of it might just be because their bosses or the legal department are concerned about it. On the candidate side of things, it definitely can help. I mean, it's like this. If I Google you and I can't find you, I get concerned now, because that means you're not on a Facebook, you're not on a MySpace, you're not on a LinkedIn, you're not on a blog, you haven't commented on a newspaper site or industry site somewhere.
So you're not in the game.
Well, kind of. And so I suggest to folks that even if they don't have a blog or a URL when they're leaving a comment somewhere, they should leave behind their LinkedIn URL. So at least if I were to be on a venture capital site somewhere and Graham doesn't have all of his blogs, and he at least leaves behind Graham Dickinson his LinkedIn URL because he made a smart comment on an industry site related to venture capital, I'm going to click on it and I might get in touch with Graham that way.
Well, when I started to poke around and tried to make sure that I was grabbing everything about you, Paul, I sat there and I went through all of, all your blogs and your Facebook, LinkedIn, this Ning sites that you, the one that you started and the social media breakfast one that you're in, you are everywhere. I mean, you have put yourself everywhere. It's just amazing. And I think about the energy that you are investing in this, and not only are you in the game, but you're rushing for 1,000 yards a game.
Well, I will tell you that when I started writing the blog 3.5 years ago, that wasn't the intent. The intent was, and you guys know me well enough, I'm kind of an opinionated guy. I tend to have a lot of ideas.
No.
and if I don't get them out, they rattle around in my head, they get louder, they get bigger, and so I have to get them out. That was the idea behind the blog. So when I picked the name MN Headhunter for the blog, because, well, that's what I was. That's how much thought went into it. It wasn't until later when I realized that there are actually search engine optimization things. I didn't know that for a year and a half. So if you do a search for MN Headhunter now, I tend to be the few first results on a Google search. So it wasn't the original intent, though. But now it's, when you're a one-man band, as I've been for 11 years, and in a market with a lot of recruiters, big companies, national companies, local boutique firms, lots of one-man bands, you do have to separate yourself out a little bit. It doesn't mean that I'm any cooler than anybody else, but
oh, yeah, you are.
You're right. I don't know about that. But if you now do a search for Minnesota recruiter or Minnesota IT recruiter, you know, folks are finding me that way, and that's just another way for me to be able to market myself. Energy, you know, time costs money, but this doesn't cost me any money, if that makes sense. Where before, I was, you know, for the first 7-8 years, the only people who knew me were my core group of clients and a few periphery folks. Now it's a little bit different, and sometimes it's actually kind of eerie, but there wasn't an original concept or plan, like people will say, before you get to social media, you know, make a plan. I actually tell folks, just jump in and see what happens, and maybe be a little bit quiet at first to see how it works versus some big strategy, because sometimes you get that analysis paralysis and you never really get into it.
Well, how do you maintain everything? I mean, when I go through all these and I think about, you know, if you were to come up with a paragraph of a new value proposition or the way that you want to describe your value proposition, I mean, do you, in your head, do you know that, okay, I have these 10 places that I've got to go update? How do you go about doing that and making sure that people, you know, sort of have an on-ramp regardless of where they're coming in so that they can get, you know, get connected with you?
For me, Twitter became, well, as you guys have experienced, including during the Girl for Basketball game the other night, while I'm a long-winded dude and 140 characters are hard for me to conquer, it is the place, though, where I can put a quick link to an article. And so I don't look at it as I have an audience. I look at it as that I'm just me, and maybe folks will think I'm interesting. So I'm really not targeting Minnesota IT folks. I'm not targeting folks in Minnesota. I'm not targeting my recruiter friends nationally. I just am who I am, and if folks can kind of like me or not. But I will, like, post career links. I will post recruiter links. I will post business links. And a lot of times those now are coming back and working into blog posts that I'm writing where I have more time and more space. And Facebook, I had Twitter link, you know, so my tweets would go on my Facebook profile. I wasn't thinking about the folks on Facebook, though, who were getting updates, you know, sent to the BlackBerry of their friends. And so when I was a little vocal during election season, I wasn't realizing that, oh, crap, someone was getting 15 messages from me in the night during a debate. So I actually quit. I cut the feed off. And that was probably a wise choice. But I'm a little bit transient. Some days I'm thinking about the blog. Like, I didn't think about it at all this week, the blog, but I was thinking a lot about just what was on my mind, and Twitter was a quick release for it. So, again, it's not probably what most folks would recommend for someone to do. I just kind of do my own thing, and it's kind of a bit of a hit-and-miss and transient kind of way. It's kind of like flipping the channels on a TV for me. I'm going to do this now, and then I'll do this later. I'll work on this other thing when I get to it.
Hey, Paul, talk about how you came to launch the Minnesota Recruiters Unconferences. How did that begin, and why did you do it? And give us a quick history on where it's at.
Well, it was an accident. I will tell you that almost everything that's good that's happened to me in the last 5 years was an accident. It was an odd thought that happened to work out. So 2 years ago, there were 6 or 7 local recruiter HR career bloggers, to put them in a category. And the idea was, like Graham, I'm a reformed fraternity boy, and Josh Kahn of Accenture, who works at Best Buy, said, hey, Paul, you're going to be our social chair. You know, we want to get everybody together for a lunch. And I failed at it. So a year later, he sent me an email saying, you suck at this. You know, can you do something about it? So Josh and I, and then a guy in town by the name of Steven Rothberg, who runs collegerecruiter.com. It's actually the largest site for the college, both candidate and recruiting community. Got together at a Chipotle and were like, hey, maybe we can get 15 of our folks or our friends or our whoever together for a lunch. Steven had just come from a national conference. I bumped into a guy by the name of John Sumser, who's been actually writing about this space since the mid-90s. So he's a bit of the grandfather for all of us in this career space. And so he's like, hey, I want to start doing some, what he was calling local events. So he wanted to bring an on-conference to Minneapolis or Atlanta or Dallas, and we decided to start here because we had this idea. And it just kind of, I don't know, it mushroomed between creating the site, getting the domain name Minnesota Recruiters, reaching out to our networks. We've had 5 events. Our next one's the end of February. We've been hosting them all at Best Buy. They are fantastic folks to work with. They've got the facilities, and with Josh's connection there. I've just been lucky to find some people who wanted to help out, so I get a lot of credit for it, but there are a lot of other people who are involved in this. But now the email list is about 1,400 local HR recruiter people. I'm not sure how current that list might be now because I haven't sent an email in about 6 weeks, and I think that from October to the end of the year, we saw about a 5% bounce rate, where before it was always, I would maybe have one or two on each email. But so you could tell that, again, this idea that the recruiter and HR industry was getting hit kind of hard. But, you know, it's the idea, though, that you teach and you train your people locally, because otherwise you have to go to, you know, Hollywood, Florida or Las Vegas and spend, you know, $2,000 in 4 days. And we can do things a little bit more efficient locally, in my opinion.
How many did you have at that last meeting? I was shocked. I dropped in on that last one. There were a lot of people there.
I'm not going to lie to you. I was a little freaked out. It's always kind of hard when you have a free event. You're not sure how many people will actually show up. You have a lot of last-minute cancellations. We also saw a mushroom explosion in the numbers of people who were interested. So I went with the idea of we're going to register 280 to see if 240 get there. So in the past, I normally had started with that 240 number. We dropped down to the 215. So this time we did have 240. I don't think we had about 10 chairs left over. And there was a lot of energy in the room that day. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. It was an excellent event. Yeah, and now we see you're speaking at the Star Tribune Career Fair recently here too. Maybe you should talk about some of your speaking work. And do I hear there? Did I pick up a tweet that there might even be a book somewhere down the line here?
One of the blessings of having been on my own for 11 years, it's a blessing and a curse. I can do what, when, where, how I want, and that's the blessing. The curse is, I was talking with an IT consulting firm here locally. And they're like, hey, you know, would you ever be interested in actually working for somebody? And I'm like, you know, not really. And like, well, what do you think your biggest barrier is? And I said, well, you know, I'm not corporate trained. I said, I might come in here like a little puppy and accidentally pee on the carpet. I don't have that experience. You know, I have a meeting with me and we go for a walk and, you know, we work it up and we come back and then I start doing something. So I've actually been speaking about career stuff that started on the U of M campus, you know, 6 years ago. And my opinion is, and I don't mean to, you know, to dog out on anybody, but I'm really frustrated with some of the advice that's being given out to job seekers. And so, again, the Star Tribune Career Expo the other day, I actually got referred to them by Kevin Donlin, who also writes with a simple job search here, simplejobsearch.com. He's been writing for the Star Tribune for years.
Yeah, he's great. I know.
Yeah, Kevin's a great guy.
Yeah,
and so
really
that's one of those networking things. So this was the fourth one. There were about 130 people in the room. When I did it last spring, I asked how many people in the room were unemployed. It was maybe 20%. On Tuesday, it was at least 90 or more.
Mm.
And the idea being is I teach job search from my perspective. So it's not like a career coach. It's not like a job coach. It's here's what I do to find clients. Here's what I do to find the hiring manager. Here's what I do to find, you know, the chief marketing officer or the CIO. And here's how you get around the gatekeeper. Here's how you find what their email is. Here's how you find all this information. And the idea is it's a bit of an inside baseball look at job search. And it's opinionated and it's a little bit aggressive, as you might expect a recruiter to be. But I think that, you know, these are the times that we're in. And the other part, though, is to teach people about what networking is and isn't. And you don't want to start your networking. You don't want to build your raft while it's already raining. I mean, so for those who are still employed, who might think about looking, build your network now before you need it. And better than that, pay it forward. Help others before you need help. So I started this. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say is that I've heard now from several different sources, people that are on you know, like the Rails list or the PHP developer list and so forth, that projects have been canceled, things have been killed, and all of a sudden business has dried up. And what you're talking about is not just kind of rules of the road for going out and getting a job, but could be also applied to those who are, you know, looking for development work, coding work, and so on.
Yep. Yeah, I've been on a bit of a roll the last couple of weeks. Again, not a shocker to you guys, but one of the ideas that's been in my mind is this, is that when a company, there was a company in town earlier this week who I won't say because I have a lot of friends who work there, who had a meeting in the morning and they were let go 2 hours later. And yet they would expect, you know, for someone to give 2 to 3 weeks notice if they were going to leave. And so I have, you know, I've come up with this new one line that I've been using in the presentations, which is if companies are going to start treating you as a consultant, you might as well start acting like one.
Yeah,
and,
good one.
You know, I mean, take care of your, I mean, there was a great blog post that I linked to earlier, either earlier this week or late last week. Be the president of your career.
Yep.
So
Chris Brogan,
I just don't trust folks. You know, if you can go to work one day and be told that you've got 10 minutes, here's your box, and here's the security guard, and you're out, I would suggest to people that they also now start treating their career the same way. That, you know, I gave the line the other day. It was the first time I used it, and it was well received, which is the first thing you do, there are three things you do after you find your next new job. Or you find a new job. One is you let everybody know in your job search that you have one, that you've landed somewhere, and thank you for your help. Two is if your company is hiring, let that same group of people know that your company is hiring because you might be able to help somebody else. And three is you start looking for your next new job that day because you just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that almost, Paul, that sounds a little bit like, you know, eye for an eye. Is that really a great attitude to go into? Is that going to change the course of what's being precipitated by corporate America if you kind of say, well, listen, you know, if you're going to treat me like crap, I'm going to treat you like crap?
I look at it a little bit differently. I look at that if you're taking care of, if you're the breadwinner in your family and you've got a mortgage and you've got car payments and you've got kids in school or you're trying to save for an education, you're taking care for a parent who's aging or has an illness, you need to take care of your own stuff. And I just, you know, this idea that I have may not work for everybody and it may not be a good one. But it's just from where I'm sitting, and you don't want to obviously tell your employer you're doing this, but I would suggest to have that mentality. If you've been attending networking events for the last 90 days to find your next gig, you might as well keep attending those events because you don't know yet who you're going to meet. You don't yet know who you can help. And you don't know if in 6 months or in 2 years you're going to be looking again either by choice or by force.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in some ways the attitude is maybe being just one of being open. I used to tell people this when I was in sales management, that I was always grabbing business cards of people that impressed me, that I never mm-hmm. knew when I might contact them. Or I even went so far as I was in an Office Max one day and I'm over working with a young man getting some stuff printed. And this kid blew me away with his customer service, his knowledge about the product, his knowledge about Office Max. And I finally asked him at one point, you know, are you, you know, a manager or something? Or, you know, what do you do? He said, well, no, I just, you know, I'm an assistant manager. I run this department. And I thought, this kid's way underemployed. And I asked him for his card. And I ended up ultimately giving it to somebody else who ended up telling him about a job, didn't hire him, but told him about a job and he ended up there. But I mean, it's that sort of attitude, right? That you're just open to it and you're just, you know, you're just keeping yourself in the game.
Well, if you go to LinkedIn and at the bottom of profiles, it says what you're interested in on the site. And so it could be reacquainting with old friends, peers, whatnot. And it is also, you know, what is it, job inquiries, I think is the phrase. Yeah, I suggest that you go to any CEO, CIO, CFO profile and see what they've got listed. And I bet you more than 70% of them say job inquiries. So I think sometimes we put the people in senior management on this other level, playing level. But at the end of the day, if you called them up and you had an opportunity, would they listen to you? Of course they would. Well, in most cases. So I don't think that the 2-year marketing person at an ad firm downtown should be concerned with keeping their network open and alive when certainly the chief marketing officer of that company is doing the same.
Well, I think obviously the way that the employment market is working now, there is no long-term job. So yeah, it's always vital to keep your networks open and keep doing that. Let me ask you a question, Paul, about recruiting. You know, are there recruiters right now in big business, or are there basically HR people fielding, resumes? I mean, is there active recruiting, I want you to come to work for me, still going on, or is it sort of in a hiatus?
Well, I'm going to split this into two categories. I'll say the large companies, and then I'll talk about the small and medium-sized companies, because there actually is a bit somewhere in there, or there's actually a line. On the large company side, there are still pockets of strength, and it might be you could make one comment about a very large healthcare company in town, and you could make another comment about a similar company 3 miles away, where one is hiring, almost any discipline, and another one's letting half their people go. Okay, half the people's a bit large, but so each company really is its own entity right now and has its own situation. So on the large company side, though, there is hiring going on. There still is some hiring on IT. Depending on the company, they're still hiring on the marketing side of things. Sales is still a highly, a requested position right now, because, of course, the one thing you want to do in a slow economy is increase your sales. So if you're a good salesperson, it's a good time to be looking for an opportunity. On the small and medium-sized companies, sticking with the large ones for a minute. So there are a handful of companies in town, in my opinion, who are doing this right. If there was ever a time for any size company, let alone a large one, to be developing talent pools, passive candidate lists, just doing networking events to say, hey, look, we may not be hiring now, but sure as heck, we want to be ready for when it happens. So let's get together and talk about it so that we can hit the ground running if it's the third quarter or if it's the first quarter of 2010. There are only a handful of companies doing that, though. When else would you have the time to do this but now? And so when I'm hearing of recruiters being let go from the large companies, I'm laughing. My search firm friend, not laughing because my friends are getting let go, I'm laughing at the companies. This is a search firm dream that for those search firms who make it through these next 9 months are going to be super busy come the end of 2009 and the early part of 2010, because while these companies are trying to hire recruiters, get them trained in, get them in the company culture, they already have spots they had to fill 4 weeks ago or 4 months ago. So search firm guys like me, like we did in 2003, are going to have a really good year at some point. The small, medium-sized companies, a lot of them are hiring. They just don't know how. They may or may not have an HR person who may or may not also be a recruiter. And CEOs are CEOs, and marketing folks are marketing folks. So recruiting is a hard thing, and I think that until you actually get into it, you don't realize it. So in the presentation the other day, I said to people, the Twin Cities Business Monthly actually has a webpage with lists of companies, and many of them you may not have heard of. And that's a good place to go get ideas of companies that, maybe it's a small marketing firm, maybe it's a small IT shop, maybe it's a small manufacturer who likely is growing, but, putting it at monster.com costs $350. So the other part is if you put it at monster.com right now, you're going to get triple the response you had 6 months ago. And it may not actually be triple the target candidate that you're looking for. So a lot of companies are shying away from job ads right now online.
So, Paul, can we get a little tactical here? Firstly, if Monster isn't the place to be, where are the best resources for job seekers to really invest their time in?
My suggestion to job seekers is this. Everything is a tool. So if you were to build a house, you'd need a hammer and a screwdriver and a nail gun and a stapler and all these things. So I may not remember them all off the top of my head, but so you need to go to the job boards. You need to go to Monster and Career Builder and Hot Jobs. You need to find some niche sites. A niche might be industry specific, niche might be location specific. But there are a couple of standard ones, like a dice.com for IT people. Craigslist is still a decent place to be taking a look, because again, it's free, so you can find some small and mid-sized companies. You want to have your LinkedIn profile. First of all, you want to have one. I was a little bit surprised the other day when half the people in the room didn't even have one. And a quarter of them didn't know what it was. That was a little bothersome to me. So if you've got the job boards, big, small, and niche, you've got LinkedIn, you have your own just network, you know, your friends, your family, people you used to work with, people that you may still be working with if you're still employed, former bosses. There is just, the newspapers actually are a okay place to find jobs because most people have gone online, so ad response rate to many newspaper ads has been down. So this would be, I'm a big fan of you go where everyone else isn't. So newspapers can be a good place. And I think it's just going to networking events in your industry or your location. So if you're a social media person, you probably want to go to Rick Mon's breakfast at the end of the month. If you're a business analyst, there's a couple groups in town. If you're a marketing person, Graham, you'll know better than this. Is it 2, 3, 4 groups to attend?
Sure, MEMA and so forth.
Yeah. So the thing is that it's kind of cliche, it's kind of dirty, but in the middle of networking is work. The point is you can't just sit online to make relationships. It's a good place to start. Like, I knew all you guys from online, but it wasn't until I actually met Graham, and Graham came to a couple of our events, and then I see you guys at other events, do we start building relationships with people. And too often we don't build relationships before we ask for advice. Or who do you know? We go, hey, I met you at an event. I'm looking for a job. We don't know each other. Would you give me some advice? And most people are kind of lukewarm to that at best. So the first part is that you have to get active and actually want to go out and meet people. And if you're not willing to do that, you're going to have a difficult time with this job search thing.
Well, and I've been in situations where, and one guy in particular shall remain nameless, who I didn't hear from for about 2.5 years, and then he was out, and he was all over me like a bad suit to get, connected up here and there, and would I do this, would I do that, and, do you know so-and-so over there, would you connect me with him and all that, and I said, yeah, and I actually went, and put forth some energy and effort and did that, and then he landed a gig, and I never heard from him again.
There are two phrases I use. It's called the hit and run, or the one-night stand. And that is for what you're talking about. The one-night stand one, of course, is very popular amongst the college kids because it just fits, right? And the hit and run is just that, too. I've got a guy who calls me about every 8 months or so wanting to know everything that I know. And he's a real good senior IT person. But when I call him to ask him who he knows about something, I never get a call back. And so I've stopped returning this person's phone call and email.
Yeah.
It's a relationship, and people forget that part, that you want to help your friends. But you've got to become a bit of an acquaintance or a friend first before someone's going to go out of their way for you.
One thing I've noticed recently, Paul, is that more and more people, when I help them, they go out of their way at the end of the discussion to say, or at the end of the exchange to say, okay, now how can I help you? And I'm so impressed by that. To me, it goes without saying, but I'm impressed that more and more people are saying that now, that they realize it's a two-way street, So
I think this current situation, and I've noticed that a lot, too, for the last 9 months or so, that maybe before it was 10, 20%, well, it wouldn't even have been that high. But at least now 40, 50, 60% will say, hey, and by the way, is there something I can, do to someone who I know, who can help?
Yeah. I'm often stumped at what to say when they ask me that, and it finally hit me. Do a testimonial for me or a recommendation for me on LinkedIn,
Yep.
And people go, yeah, sure, no problem,
For me, I'll ask folks, can I just at least add you to my email list? So if I've got an event coming up, or if I've got a job I'm struggling with, can I add you? And it's, everyone says yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
So, Paul, how important is having a resume these days versus, your LinkedIn profile, your blog, all these other social media outlets?
I would suggest that a resume is still the first thing, if only because that's still what corporate America is used to. The idea being is that almost every company has an applicant tracking system, or what's called an ATS. And so if you respond to I'll pick on 3M for a moment. If you respond to HR at 3M or resume at 3M, it is highly likely a person actually doesn't see your resume. It goes into a large database. So think of it then as, like, you're searching for a job on Monster.com and you're using keywords. That's how our applicant tracking systems work. I have one myself. And so, but of course, I actually see everybody's resume that's coming in. I think, Graham, you might remember this too. Josh Kahn said Best Buy in 2007 took in 3 million resumes worldwide. Oh, ponder that for a moment. 3 million worldwide.
Okay, well, Paul, can I ask you a question? What were those systems called again?
Applicant
tracking system?
Yep, or ATS is the acronym for it.
All right, so let me ask you this. This may sound like a really, really bizarre question, but is there anybody that is doing, in essence, search engine optimization for those systems? I mean, are there recommended keywords that you use in your descriptions and so on?
Yeah. So to kind of piggyback both questions, so you want to have a resume. Well, you have to have one because that's what corporate America still expects. I just tell candidates or people I'm just talking to, if you don't have a resume yet or whatever, you know, send me your LinkedIn profile. If you're writing something, where send me that link. Or just send me a couple paragraphs, and it's not like an executive summary. Just tell me what you do. You know, what are you looking for? That doesn't necessarily work for the corporate world, but it works for me in what I do. And so the resume has to be first because it's still what is expected. It's still what you apply with. And it was established a year or two ago, and I don't even know what the acronyms or what the OFCCP. It was a federal law put in place that helped consider what is an applicant, what's an online applicant, and a lot of it is used for companies that are doing government work. So if you're maybe an Ecolab might be an example. If you apply for a job at Ecolab, these rules apply to you because they do government work. And it kind of makes sure that people are not being, that there's a lot less prejudice going on, maybe with people's names or the countries that they're from. But it's just a side note. The idea, though, is that the resume still matters because without the resume, you're not getting into the applicant tracking system. And I always suggest to people that you really do need to, if you have the time, have a resume specific for each job that you're applying to. And that's difficult and it takes a lot of work. But, you know, the other thing I say during the presentation is finding a job is a job. I mean, you had one before, you're looking for one now, you might as well put some time into it. So if you're applying for a job in any industry that has buzzwords, keywords, phrases, particularly if it's in the job description, make sure that those are in your resume, because those are the keywords that a recruiter is going to search for in the database. So it's a bit of a shortcut. So like on LinkedIn, for example, too, if you are, I'll get to keep talking IT because it's my world. So if you are an Oracle DBA, you also want to have Oracle Database Administration. You want to be able to spell out the words and have the acronym somewhere in your profile, or just list a quick, you know, 6-line keyword string, because that's how we do it for the most part. Getting to your SEO question, it's our industry is late to that party. Some of us have been doing it for a year or two. There's a couple of companies in town that actually do this as one as their focal point of the business and one as part of their business. There's a company in town called Jobs to Web. Yep. And they're out in Eden Prairie, I think.
Yes.
And they've been doing this for the better part of go ahead.
Yeah, based in Minnetonka and Opus. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Doug yes. Bird's company. Yep.
Yep. And so they've been doing this for a while now. I know Best Buy is one of their clients. And so they do search engine optimization to help pop these jobs up quicker. Because if you hop on Google right now and you start searching for jobs, and the traffic flow on Google or any search engine right now, as you would expect, has just skyrocketed. Just like I can see it with my referrals just through my blog, for the few keywords that I kind of target, the traffic in the last 60, 90 days, well, is astronomical. For me, that means it goes from like 40 for keywords to like 100. So it's not like for me in Best Buy. But there's another company in town called Arbida. They're actually one of the they're the group sponsor from the Minnesota Recruiters Group. They, too, are working on a product similar in this area. We're also teaching recruiters that when you're putting an ad on Monster or any job board that you need to optimize it. You know, because sometimes people will go there searching for we'll do the big category IT and scroll through, but other times people will put PHP or web developer or whatever as a search string. It's really funny when you see companies, they'll always include like that job code, you know, like the the pound sign 4572 for an SFTWMGR. They're looking for a software manager. Who in their right mind actually uses that as a search term to find a job?
Yeah.
So we're catching on, and we've been preaching this now for a long time. So I think it's Nicole Bodum, who is one of the co-founders of our group, gave a great presentation at that last event that was really well received about why this matters, because this is how people are finding jobs now. I feel like I'm just talking. You guys doing all right?
No, we're doing great.
I get on a soapbox. I told you that.
Well, and you know what's interesting about this is that, you know, with all the job transition groups that there are, there's a great big one here in Eden Prairie at one of the Lutheran churches that I know many people have gone to that in the past. And there's a lot of great connections made there, and it's a good networking group and all of that. But I will come back to the one thing that you said was that you will go off and do a Google search and look for somebody and see what their digital breadcrumbs are and see what they're involved in. Because you can really start to, if people participate, you can really develop a good profile about who they are and are they in the game and, you know, are they a thought leader or are they non-existent online? And that tells you something about where they're at, especially in today's always on, always connected world.
Well, there's a guy down in Atlanta, Georgia. His name is Shally Steckerl. He's got the greatest name. He's been he's worked for Microsoft and Google and has always been their senior or the senior person in the recruiting department. And he's been for years teaching particularly how to use Google and Boolean string search strings to find people or titles or resumes or find company lists or find, you know, when someone will say, here were the attendees and put on the PDF. That's why I said earlier, is if I cannot find you online, I get a little worried. And that means that I'm missing out on a large portion of the talent that's up there. But it's where I start. So that's why I suggest to people that if this is where I'm going as a recruiter, then you want to be there too. You know, there's two ways to find a job. Someone finds you, or you find them, or they find you. Well, how do you find someone? You need to be on a LinkedIn. Or there's another thing called Emerse, E-M-U-R-S-E, and it's a place where you can host your resume online for free. And the search engines love this site. So you can always have a resume out there, per se. And it's a good tool for job seekers. And for those of us who are, you know, who might be a little bit more in the consulting variety, or for those who are looking every 2 years, I mean, not that I suggest that you should look for a job every 2 years, but for those who do, it's a good place to be out there.
Because many people do. Yep. So what do you, and this is an area that I'm only peripherally involved in, but, there seems to be a tremendous amount of assessment online that's there for people to, you know, discover where they need to be. And, you know, of course we know about the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory and other sorts of things, you know, the Marcus Buckingham Now Discover Your Strengths. There's all these different assessment tools. I know that you're looking for specific people, but do you also go through any assessments or point people to specific assessments? So if you see somebody or you see five people that might meet a specific need, do you send them somewhere online for them to see if there's actually a match with their strengths and their skill sets and so forth?
Some of the IT shops in town will do this. Many of the executive search firms in town will do this. I do not, mostly because, and I say this to my clients up front, is for all the things that I need to do, to make sure that we get this work done, it's one of those things that I just normally don't get to. On the reverse side, though, they actually, most of them already do this themselves, so it's not a huge gap or a hole in my business to not be doing it. So I will, like on the IT side, I have some programmer tests and stuff or some quick assessment tests in the technical sense. But some of the more behavioral ones, I kind of leave that to the client. And And that even too is about split about 60% don't do even do that, and 40% are really hardcore about it. So the assessment stuff is still a bit of a, my experience has been a bit of a, still kind of a foggy gray area, whether or not people are doing them or not.
Got it. So how are you feeling about, you know, rather than get into, because obviously I didn't sell my stocks at the right time, so I didn't predict the economic downturn, and it's
or
just...
Don't open up your 401k statement?
Yeah, no, that's my 200.5k. Because
yeah,
it's about
just
half
that
of what,
sucker when it shows up. Don't even bother
right.
looking at it.
That's right.
101K.
Yeah. But, you know, none of us can predict. But it's interesting because now that there seems to be enough people who have been sitting in the bottom of the hole for a while, oh, poor is me, oh, woe is me, life is horrible, it's not, you know, everything's going to collapse. Maybe I should go buy some meals ready to eat and water and get some guns and stock up and...
Don't forget the duct tape.
The duct tape, that's right. Seal up those doors. But there also seems to be a move, and I'm seeing it on Twitter. I'm seeing it in people's blog posts that I follow. This, okay, I'm done with that now. I'm done with negativity. I'm done with listening to, you know, cable news show pundits and CNBC pundits who are proclaiming this or proclaiming that. It's really, you know, I just got to make do with what's here and go out and make it happen. And there seems to be an attitude shift going on. Are you noticing any of that? Or are you noticing people
there
are still?
There is some of it. I think one of the things that I suggest to folks is you really have to look at the micro level of these statistics and numbers and the macro level. And so I did this morning, because I actually got up early for a change to be ready for you guys. If you take the labor report, the last unemployment report was what, 7.2%, and people go, oh wow, that's almost 10%. I mean, you really got to look at it, though. The teen unemployment rate's 20.8, and that is skewing these numbers a little bit. The unemployment rate for management professionals is between 2.9 and 3.9. The service sector, of course, the service being a very large pool of folks, is 7.8. Sales is 6.5. If you have a college degree, the unemployment rate is 3.7. So that's a lot less than 7.2. And then on the micro thing, you need to figure out what's going on just in the state of Minnesota. So if our unemployment rate is 6.4, Rochester is at 4.7. And I'm hearing a lot of companies down in Rochester, not necessarily tech-related, but just in general, they're having a hard time getting people to move to Rochester to live. And so, you know, North Dakota...
Why is that?
Well, I think that you know, there's actually a lot of people who I know who live like in the Hastings area who are now realizing that they can go the opposite way of traffic to go to Rochester to take less time than it takes them to get to Minneapolis for a job. And it will pay nearly the same, but they have a much more pleasant commute.
Well, Rochester's like a fabulous community. I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
With IBM and Mayo and all the related businesses. Yeah.
And so, you know, for them, it's if Mayo is hiring or not, it helps. If IBM is hiring or not, you know, it helps or hurts. So that's kind of the thing, is if you have a one or two employer town, that can make a difference. But Rochester is diverse enough, from my experience, for who the employers are, that it's a good place to get employment. You know, people want to stay in New York City, and they want to stay in San Francisco, and they want to stay in Boston. You know, I don't remember anywhere in anything that says because you live in a certain place, you're going to have a job. And there are just times in economies when you might need to pack up and move somewhere where there are literally greener pastures. And so that's why I say you need to look at things more on a micro level. What's happening in Minneapolis? What's happening in Minnesota? What's happening in the upper Midwest? I care about all of those things before some guy gets on CNBC, which I watch religiously, says, oh, but, you know, or the folks do a Challenger Gary and Christmas down in Chicago, who are the largest kind of outplacement firm in the country. When you paint it with a big brush like that, you miss a lot of things. And so that's why, I say to people, you really got to get going, what's going on in your local area. And I think that, you know, we're weathering this better than we did the last one, and we're not doing as bad, which is never a great term to use. We're not doing as bad as other areas of the country are.
Well, we've always had a pretty diverse economy here, so that's always been one of the things that saved us in the past.
And to the gloom and doom idea, it's difficult because, you know, it's the old idea that it's a recession, but it's a depression when it hits your house.
Yeah.
And so it's not to diminish the people who are looking for work now or the ones who are still going to lose their jobs yet in the coming months. So I really have to try to separate that the empathy or the emotion of that from trying to look at it a larger picture, which, again, I still believe that if employment tends to be 2 to 4 months behind the stock market. So if September to November was the stock market time, we saw it a little, this November and December employment numbers were not that great. These January numbers are going to suck. I mean, let's just get past that now. Prepare yourself for a really sucky number when it comes out in the beginning of February. February's numbers, which get announced in March, will suck probably as bad. And that could be the worst of it. So not to say that more folks aren't yet going to lose their jobs, but when you try to figure out where the trend line is, that's my thinking. Now, again, I could be just way wrong, and we'll listen to this 9 months from ago, and that guy was an idiot. But that's kind of how I'm looking at it.
Well, and of course, if I was a recruiter living in Austin, Texas, I'd start poaching these tech people when it's minus 20 in Minneapolis.
Yeah. And there's a flip side to that one, by the way. This is a great time to be poaching people in New York City to come to Minneapolis. So there is always a flip to that coin. There are greener pastures if you're here to go somewhere where it's warmer. There are greener pastures if you're in New York right now to come to Minneapolis.
Yep.
We have a decent financial services sector here. It's diverse enough. What is Piper Jaffray now? With the top fifth or sixth with investment banking company now? Because all the ones that went down on Wall Street. It's interesting when you think of it that way, that some of these companies now are top 5, top 10 leaders now in their industry because of what happened over this last fall.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're bumping up against our end, and I'm wondering if my gang members have any other questions or
any... Your gang members.
I love using that term. Yeah. we're going to have to get some jackets and switchblades.
We're going to slap the crap out of you beating on our turf.
That's right. Hey, what are you doing over there? Hey, come on. Yeah.
Why do I stop here in Minneapolis? Doing a Brad dance number in West Side Story?
I was thinking the same thing.
Oh, man.
Well, let me flip this on you guys then. I mean, let me interview you for 5 minutes.
Okay. Go.
So, Graham, what do you think you see in your area that you're in? Are people optimistic? Are they hiring? Are they talking about hiring? Is there momentum more than there was? Has it even mattered?
Yeah. Well, in the startup world where I primarily live, yes, their optimism always reigns. Recessions don't keep entrepreneurs down. They don't throw in the towel and say, okay, I'm going to stop scheming and planning and innovating. Are they hiring? That's tough because, they're obviously having difficulty, raising, seed capital, but that's nothing new, in Minnesota. And I've been telling people, it's been tough for a long time. The economy can't make it that much tougher. I do still see companies that are raising money that have, high hopes of raising money. And so, I tell people that, that don't listen to the 24/7 gloom and doom, and I agree with Steve. I'm noticing more and more people who are just shutting that off and, focusing on what they're trying to accomplish to move their business plans forward. I hear, of more people that may be considering going elsewhere if that's what it takes to raise money. But I'm also heartened by the fact that that investors elsewhere in the country continue to be interested in Minnesota. And I think increasingly early stage investors, including VC firms that invest in internet and IT kinds of firms, are more willing to invest in places that aren't in their own backyard and are you know, looking at Minnesota. So I'm always confident, and I agree, like you, Paul, that we've got to be nearing the worst of this, the bottom, and now's the time for startups and those considering joining startups or joining a team to get down to business, because it's gonna pick up, and those that are doing their doing the work now or and moving forward and finding the right talent and working those business plans hard are going to be the ones who are going to benefit when we do come out of it.
Do you is for any of you guys, is the marketing for what you guys do? It seems that most of you are really involved in the marketing aspect of this of a business. I would have to assume that that is also a forward thinking or leading indicator. Is that fair?
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so, yeah, are you having more conversations? Okay, not more. Are you at least seeing that you're having as many conversations as you were months ago? I mean, are you seeing any uptick in these people talking about stuff?
There is no shortage of new startups and interesting new startups and guys that have been, have been scheming behind the scenes. I have seen no shortage of new ideas and motivated entrepreneurs wanting to talk, wanting to move things forward. And it doesn't mirror the large company world at all. I mean, in the bad news climate that we're in, it goes the other way, and I read bloggers and writers, that columnists that are saying the same thing. Sramana Mitra, who's a columnist at Forbes and wrote a wonderful new book called Entrepreneur Journeys. These are the kinds of people that entrepreneurs read. These are the kinds of people that tell you that refresh your memory that, hey, a lot of the very best companies out there were started in worse times than this, even, So there are very, very many reasons to stay positive, and yes, there's been no slowdown in the amount of entrepreneurial activity going on in this town and state.
Hey, well, and Steve, here's
go ahead.
Well, one of the things I was going to throw out was, there's been this, as we all know, this incredible flood of startups that have done, little teeny pieces where you look at them and you say, that's a feature, that's not a company. But there's been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. The shift that's going on now is I'm seeing, and this is really a sweeping generalization, I know, but there seems to be a slowdown in that flood. It's still at flood stage and there's a lot of great things going on, but people instead are seeming to shift on how do I make more sense of what all this is? So, yep. And I'll put a link to this in the show notes, but if you look at DSO, which is the open non-proprietary push to build these interoperable building blocks for the decentralized social web, micro formats and OpenID and all of that. And then you see that whole move in live streaming. FriendFeed is a great example of a hosted live stream type of product, but there are themes now for WordPress to allow you to sort of collect and collate all this different stuff. So if I want, for instance, one place to see everything about Paul DeBettings, I've got one place that I can go. And all of the stuff that you're involved in all over the net is, in essence, I can see the top level, the 40,000-foot view of all the things that you're involved in. The photos you're sticking on Flickr, the YouTube favorite videos you've got, the tweets you're doing, the blog posts you're doing at five different places and so on and so forth. And so that's what I'm personally really excited about in 2009 is seeing those kinds of things going on and at the same time personally involved with small business and consultants, small consultants, individual consultants who are desperate to be in the game, who are saying, well, I can't do what Paul DeBettings does and, be involved in 19 things and doing it all really well, but instead I need to, you know, pick the top five and get involved in that. And then at the same time, there's also a whole push in the analytics space around social media specifically, but that's what I'm most excited about is the coordination and orchestration of all this stuff and how it's going to be easier this year to have a presence, to build a presence, to make sense and integrate that presence. And, I think it, you know, for people like you, Paul, I think it's going to make it easier for you to sort of see if somebody says, yeah, I'm really into digital photography as one of their interests on LinkedIn, but then they don't have any digital photography anywhere on the net. You might say, well, is that really true? But if you instead they've got a live stream that shows their photos up on Flickr, and you go there and go, you know, she's really good. You know, it's that sort of thing. So
there's one thing that I would have mentioned earlier and I kind of forgot too, was the idea of companies now using social media to, you know, find talent. I hate using the word find talent. It makes it seem really impersonal, but I think that we're going to see more companies, you know, again, Best Buy haven't been a company that's done it well. Ecolab has done this really well. Most folks don't think of Ecolab and social media, but they've been doing it. It's the idea that, you know, for so long we have posted ads online and we waited for people to come to us. And so I use analogies like hunting and fishing or hunting and farming. This one, social media to me is a little bit more like fishing. Either I can wait for the fish to come to me, or I can go to where they're hanging out. And isn't that what we normally do, right? We normally just don't go to a spot in the middle of the lake, drop our line and go do-de-do-do-do and have to have 12 beers waiting for a fish to come by.
I use dynamite.
But we'll go to where the docks are. We'll go to the weed lines are. We'll go to the humps and the bumps in the middle of the lake and where the trees are that are hanging off the side of the off the shoreline. And that's the analogy I use for social media for companies is, it's time that you get off your, time that you get off your ass and actually go out and actually start finding people versus waiting for them to find you. You have to do both. And there's Don Raymer at Arbiter, the company I mentioned earlier. He has an interesting line. See, I actually envy product marketers. And the reason why is I know how much money and how much time has to go into selling an iPod, an iPhone, or a large screen TV. The thing is, though, is that the iPhone and the TV can't say no to being bought by somebody. And that's the thing I think that a lot of marketers don't understand about the recruiting gig is, not only are we trying to I hate to use the word sell, but not only are we trying to sell or introduce a client to a candidate, but the candidate to the client. You can have the coolest job in the world, and it's not like the candidate, he gets to say no. And that's a difficult part to this business is that, you know, you have to deal with both sides of the people equation, where I would suggest with the product marketing, it's a little more one-sided. It's not like the iPod says, no, I really don't want to be bought by that 7-year-old.
Well, you know? And so, not only that, but the Canada doesn't have a USB connection. So that's nice. A problem. Hey, we got to... go ahead, and then we got to go. Go ahead.
Tim Elliott still here?
Tim?
Still here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I want to plug two things. One is the job, they're both job related. One is Tim Elliott and I met each other through a guy named Jason Alba. Jason Alba is a dear friend of mine, and I'm sure of Tim still too. Was an unemployed IT guy a few years ago in Salt Lake City, and like all unemployed IT guys, having free time isn't always a good thing. So he actually created a job tracking software. And so he has a company called Jibber Jobber. So it's JIBBER.com. And it's a fantastic service for folks. One of the things that most people don't do in the job search is they don't actually track who they sent the resume to, for what job, what time they called, what time they left, or when did they leave an email, things like that. He's got a wonderful service that's really inexpensive to be able to track the job search.
And then you can still use it for free, too.
Yes. So, yes, he has three different price plans. There's a free one, and then it's like a few bucks a month, and then there's like a 10 bucks a month.
Right.
I would argue that anyone who's going to actually track their job search is going to spend half a day creating this. Figure what that's worth, too, and I'm sure it's worth $100 for a year if you were so interested.
I agree with you. And Jason's blog is a great resource. I still read that as well.
And he's written a book called I'm on LinkedIn Now What and I'm on Facebook Now What. He's like my hero. So I wanted to be able to plug it for anybody locally or even, you know, of course, nationally who sees this or hears this. The other one is the back to my book idea. It's not like it's going to be some like super fantastic thing, although maybe it could be. But I created the domain name beyourownheadhunter.com last week. And the idea is I'm going to start just writing about career stuff. So when I do my presentation, like at the Star Tribune Career Expo, you have an hour. I could do that presentation over 3 hours if I had time. So the idea is I'm going to be posting stuff there, still doing the speaking stuff, and all that's free. I just want to be able to try to help people out. And then the book will actually be an extension from that. So if someone really wants to get into how to find somebody on LinkedIn or bowling search strings on Google, that's what it's about. But so if anybody does have, if they're looking for someone to come in and talk about job search stuff, you know, send me, you know, I'd love to come and talk to folks just to try to see who we can help out.
That sounds great. Hey, Paul, this has been fabulous. Thank you. Thanks for all the time.
Well, thank you, guys. Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
And Minovate, guys, thanks.
Yeah.
You bet.
We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, you
take care.